Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's OMF on EEI.
Gallinari with one foot in the logo.
Oh,
you kidding me?
Ooh, that hurt. That does hurt.
Young kicks it back out. Gallinari passes it up, now takes it.
Oh, jeez.
He's back. Gets it to Gallinari with time. Oh, get out of here. Goodwin will take the three and knock it down.
Well, there it is. You just witnessed
history.
The most threes ever given up by a Boston Celtic team.
Is this rock bottom?
I mean, yeah.
I mean,
see, I'm going to look at the positive today. I don't
you are.
Yeah, I got it all figured out. So
good.
Let me give it to you right now.
Go ahead.
So right now, the Boston Celtics are your ninth seed in the Eastern Conference. So they extended the playoffs this year.
Yep.
So as the ninth seed in the first round, if it stayed like this, they would take on the 10th seed, the New York Knicks. If they beat them, then they would play the loser of the 7 and A seed. They had played that same night. And then if you win both of those games, then and only then are you in the playoffs. There you go.
That's
optimism.
That's a bold strategy, yeah. Cotton. That's the way to look at it. I would say that, you know, fake enthusiasm doesn't really work here. I would say talking about the floor, talking about are you there yet, I think is premature. I think there's more room. I don't think they've hit the bottom.
To go down. No,
I think there's tons of room.
Yeah,
I think there's tons and tons and tons and tons of room.
They're going to play good teams here,
yeah. Suddenly they're going to wake up and be like, I know what to do now.
See, the thing that bothered me last night was, you know, the last three games, heard Brad Stevens, well, he could have won in overtime, and Luka could have rimmed that ball out, and, you know, we got to win some games to gain some confidence. Last night, and I know we're picking on the Stars, and I was saying how I thought it was unfair. Last night, it looked like your Stars quit.
Yep.
Last night, it looked like Jaylen and Tatum were just like, you know, I'm done too.
Yep. Going through the motions.
They were playing at a high level. They were still scoring. They maybe weren't getting others involved. We can debate whether they should be or not, but still, they were still doing their thing, putting up points, as Mike Gorman would say. But last night, they looked like they were done.
So you have two teams that are playing on the second night of a back-to-back. Atlanta had lost the night before against Cleveland. Okay, matter of fact, Gallinari made a huge mistake late in that game. So the next night, Gallinari looks at it and says, oh my God, I embarrassed my team. I'm going to go out and do something. The rest of the team sits there and said, we lost to Cleveland last night. We're going to go and we're going to play our ass off. Meanwhile, the Celtics lost the night before. And what did they do? They came out, and I agree. Last night, there was nothing there from the get-go.
Listen, when you come out of a game and you say the Celtics, in my opinion, your two best players were Jeff Teague and Tristan Thompson.
Yeah, you're in trouble.
Something went wrong.
Yeah.
Right? Like, there was effort from both those guys. And we can get on Thompson for what he is. There's effort from him. And Teague, I don't know, you talked about it before, first time back in Atlanta. I don't know, gave him the start.
Amen.
And there was effort there. The rest of them, I can't say much for.
Yeah, they all had something. Those two had something to play for. And meanwhile, the Celtics, you would think, under normal circumstances, just embarrassment. You would think. I mean, what happens when a player uses the ball off your butt to go and score a basket?
Yeah.
At that point, you don't sit there and say, they're embarrassing us.
Yeah.
Get off our ass. Let's do something here, fellas.
Yeah, that is basically kicking sand in your face when you're damned.
No question. They were laughing at the Celtics.
It was shooting from half court, for Christ's sake.
Yes.
It was like a freaking pickup game.
To me, this is all about pride. I mean, you have a record number of threes put on you. A lot of them uncontested.
That's the problem.
That's a really easy fix. It's a really easy fix. I mean, it's just you have pride in the way you look. Do you have pride in the product that you're putting out there? Is how you're perceived important to you? Like, everybody goes through some issues. Everybody has struggles. But to me, this is, this is beyond, like, you know, the level where I thought they could be. And if you're looking for leadership, it doesn't exist on this team.
Well, I'll say this. I mentioned, like, Teague and Thompson, to me, were the only two guys that kind of showed kind of effort. Like, Teague, we haven't seen that from him since, what, the first couple of games of the year?
Yeah, I think he was going back to Atlanta, and he wanted to show something.
I also think, and Kemba didn't play either, so you're talking about two guys that have played in this league for a while, right? You've got the president, you've got your coach, you've got the general manager all coming out kind of calling you out. You've got the play-by-play guy on radio and on TV. You pick up, you know, NBC Sports Boston at night after the game, you've got Perk ragging on you. So you know what you get? You get reaction from the veterans in Teague and Thompson. They two of their better games all year. The other kids on this team, I don't really think they know how to react to getting called out. Like, they're all so green that it's like, they don't understand the urgency in which people are trying to put on them right now. Because you don't react the way this team has reacted the last few nights, given what people in charge are saying about you.
Exactly. And I don't know if you guys saw the pregame show, but the pregame show, Perk was very positive. I told you, he flip-flops so quickly, it's unbelievable. It's the last thing he's seen. Before the game, very positive. Celtics are going to come out. They're going to play well tonight. Look at what happened last night, the whole works. He was optimistic, very positive. This is Perk at the end of the game.
Is this rock bottom?
I mean, yeah. The only way they could go is up if they decide to go up. Here's the problem that I have, Abby, okay? It's just no heart. And it starts with Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. Tonight, all I saw out of Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum was bad body language, shooting up a whole lot of shots, complaining to the referees, not playing any type of defense. I mean, listen. Gallinari went off for, you know, almost 40 points tonight. Are you kidding me? That made me want to go get back on the treadmill and the elliptical and get back in shape. Because if he's out there doing that, I know I could go out there and at least get 10 rebounds. The Celtics made him look like an all-star tonight. It's just ridiculous.
Ridiculous.
Well,
ridiculous.
Listen, Gallinari had 38 points in the game last night, 13 of 16 shooting. You already said it, Christian. Most of those uncontested. As both Scalabrine and Perk pointed out last night, he does not present a lot of quickness. It's not like you have to really run real fast to get in position to defend Gallinari. He had 38 last night. The night before, let's just look at what he's been doing so far. The night before, 5, 12, 9, 9, 16, 22, 11. He had 38 points.
The Celtics had that run of, I think it was the going into last night, 6 games in a row in which they gave up 30 points to a player on the opposing team.
That is unbelievable.
So last night they gave up 30 points to 2 players.
Well, they had to outdo themselves. I mean, there had to be another level. I mean, we can't just let 7? One guy do it. Let's let 2 guys do it.
Oh, I'm sorry. Last night was the 8th. It was 7 straight? I thought it was 6 straight. 7 straight. Well, you know what it was? Yeah, because Luka drained that 3 late, I think, to put him over. So that made it 7. Now it's 8. But on the 8th night, 2 guys, go for 30. Do you guys realize that at 15 and 17, you realize that the Cleveland Cavaliers are 12 and 21? And you got a 3.5 game lead over the team that's going to pick 3rd in the draft?
Ooh.
You're 3.5 games out from picking 3rd in the draft.
You have the same record as the Knicks. Yes.
I'm just saying, like, it's really, I mean, you're also, I mean, 3.5 games out of, you know, whatever, being the 7th, 8th best team in this league. But
time to tank.
But, yeah, you are 3.5 games out from getting the 3rd pick in the draft, depending on the lottery, of course.
I guess it all just depends on how you look at it, you know?
No. You can't put lipstick on this
thing. I feel like you can.
How?
I feel like I can try.
No, because now your superstars quit on you last night.
Yes. Well, it was bound to happen. I would say this. It kind of had to. You kind of had to reach a breaking point, you know, before you actually realized, like, that was it. This is it, guys. It's all uphill from now. Because, I mean, listen, you could look at you can look at what you said, Glenn. Okay, you got 20 teams making the playoffs. Like, I mean, you're going to make the playoffs.
Well, you only get the, but you have to win two play-in games.
Okay, but you're talking about playing. You're talking about playing. You know. I was going to say the worst of the worst.
Well,
but you're kind of
right there
with you. Yeah, you're kind of right there with you. But
they beat these teams.
However,
they got blown out by Atlanta.
No, I know it isn't great. But two, just as far as looking at it, there are a bunch of teams that are kind of like in the same boat. Right? There's the cream of the prop that is blowing everybody away. Then you have this big mosh pit of just average to below average
teams.
There's
a lot of average teams this year.
So, okay, so you got like we talked about the Jazz, the Clippers, the Lakers, the 76ers, the Suns, and the Nets. And hell, the Milwaukee Bucks are right there too. But and then it just increasingly gets worse. And then you have a big boatload of guys that are below 500 by maybe two games.
No, the league is jammed. The league is jammed up. It really is all across. I mean, Minnesota and Detroit are bad. But again, like Cleveland's the third worst team in the league, and you got a 3.5 game lead on them, and you're also 3.5 games out of being like a freaking 3 seed.
So it's terrible. I can't believe we're actually doing this right now. I feel like it's like because it's so.
No, but there's no to me. Marcus Smart coming back makes them
there
a better is. Basketball team. Is that where you're
going
to go? Your boy, the seed,
moves him up to a 5 or 6.
He makes
seed.
Them a better basketball team
and less embarrassing.
Right now, I would say a playoff team. I don't give a crap about this top 10. I'm talking top 8. You know what I mean? Or whatever. I guess you got to be top 6 to get out of that thing. But he's obviously makes them a better team. But what you're seeing, to me, I was so disappointed in Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum. Jaylen Brown a couple times. Like, what was it? Did he take to the basket 3 times and like transition and missed each layup to the basket? Like, it is just watching these guys. This offense last night, I wanted to throw up watching it. Because it is. I felt like every time I looked up, it was just one guy dribbling and 4 guys watching.
What was your line on Twitter last night?
Oh, it is. It's watching. The worst part about watching the Boston Celtics is that they play every night. Like, they play 5 times a week. Can you imagine after watching Cam Newton and a Patriot offense play on Sunday, if you had to watch him again on Monday, and then on Wednesday and Thursday and Saturday? Can you imagine having to watch that offense for 5 days a week? This is the worst thing to do about the Celtics right now, is that you're watching them 4 or 5 times a week, and you're like, nothing has changed. It's the same old, and it's getting worse.
It's awful. All right, so what's the solution? How did they fix it? We're going to get to all of that. We're going to get to your phone calls at 617-779-7937. We've said this over the years. For some reason, Celtic fans, the Green Teamers, are always really patient with their team. I don't know how any sane fan of the Boston Celtics, the Green Teamers, could be sane right now with what you're seeing. Talk about underachieving. And in the past, we've talked about them overachieving. They are so vastly underachieving right now, it's frightening. So hopefully we'll hear from some of the pissed off Green Teamers today at 617-779-7937. A big deal or no big deal coming at 4:30. But we delve into what the hell is wrong with the Celtics coming up next.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
He's hit a couple of threes so far in the game. Goes out to Gallinari. Here we go again. Gallinari with 1 foot in the logo.
Oh, he kissed me.
Young. Oh, come on. Come on. Heard it with the crossover. In the paint. Kicks it to the corner. Collins. The three. Young kicks it back out. Gallinari passes up. Now takes it.
Oh, jeez.
He's back. Goodman will take the three and knock it down.
Well, there it is. You just witnessed the most threes ever given up by a Boston Celtic team.
And this was the worst loss of the season just because of the effort.
Is this rock bottom?
I mean, yeah. The only way they could go is up if they decide to go up. Here's the problem that I have, Abby, okay? It's just no heart. And it starts with Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. All I saw out of Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum was bad body language, shooting up a whole lot of shots, complaining to the referees, not playing any type of defense.
See, I'm with Christian on this one. How can you say this is rock bottom and the only way they can go is up? They lost to a team that's 14-18 on the season, and they got blown out. Well, they were never, ever in the game.
By definition, if it's rock bottom, the only place you can go is up.
Okay. You are right.
Well, I'm just saying I don't want to get on a guy for that term because
is
that's
this best case,
sense,
worst case
it?
Scenario
this
argument is, again.
Well, I'm just saying it's rock bottom. You know, if it is rock bottom, you can't go any lower.
Yeah, but this season has this type of feeling for the rest of the year. They will eventually put a good game together
because
they'll catch a team that is sleepwalking and they'll take advantage of that team. That's how it works, but they'll always kind of live in that mediocrity type of land where they're good some days and some guys show up, other guys don't, but they're not a great team. But I never thought they were. But what I didn't think they would completely just give up on the season so early in the season is what it feels like to me.
It felt like that last night that they were giving up. So Brad Stevens, when the game is over, was asked a question. I believe Gary Washburn asked the question.
Okay.
And asked it, you know, what do you do? Do you have to change your approach with your team?
I would say, Gary, what I say to you and everyone else is not what I say in the locker room necessarily. How you say it is certainly very important. I've had my moments. Let's put it that way. That said, I think this team looks like right now it's balancing playing unconfidently and unsure with the fact that we've had a couple that slipped away. And so the only way I know to get that back is to dive on the floor, is to take charges, is to like sprint to help your teammates up, is to fight for every single possession. And that's our charge. And I don't know how to say it any more clearly than that, but it'll be said in whatever way it needs to be said, and we just need to make sure that we're doing our job. Listen, none of us are happy with the job that we have done, and I should be first and foremost on that list with where we are. That said, I also realize that we're in a situation where we have a lot of guys going through it for the first time, and there is a confidence to winning that you gain from earning winning. We have a lot of guys that haven't done that. We have some that have. We'll make sure that we do everything we can to earn that confidence with our work.
So all I heard from that is that when Marcus Smart comes back, we're going to have a guy that's going to dive for loose balls, is going to do, you know, get all the 50-50 balls, do all of those things, because I don't see anybody else doing this.
No, and he does what you talk about too. He moves the ball. You know, he does. You know, and that's why a lot of, you know, I could see Marcus Smart coming back. Wouldn't it be better with him at point, Kemba off at the two? Like just a shooting guard,
yes.
Do what you do? Because Marcus does. He's no question about it. He makes his team a lot better. I don't think there's any, no question in my mind. I know some guys like you, Christian, and Tyler.
Well, he'll change. They
hate him.
Misrepresenting what we what
but I think you realize
Tyler really hates him.
Tyler hates his guts.
Christian hates him more than I do.
I only hate when he shoots. That's it. That is it. So what I heard, okay, there was one I said, first of all, stop feeling sorry for yourself. And two, the whole Mad Brad thing may be a real thing. Like based on that clip, it's like, hey, listen, you guys will see, but I have my moments. I mean, listen, I run into these guys. I flipped over some tables now, right? Right? I'm out never going to let you know that. I got to keep everything even keel. I can't let you guys see how unhinged I become. No, I can't do that. But for these guys, they've heard me yell now. So don't think I'm a pushover because that's what we all think. I don't know if you feel that way. I feel like he's just a, hey, open the door, go get him, guys. Hey, listen, you're pros, figure it out. Like I feel like he's a guy that doesn't get in the way too much. That lets them be who they are.
See, I think what he does for this team. I think Brad answered it because he went more about Marcus Smart with this.
How much do you guys really miss Marcus Smart?
You asked me the question, so this should not be taken out of context as making an excuse, right? So we should play better than we have without him. What he brings to the table is obvious on both ends of the court. Anybody that watches basketball knows that, right? It makes it so that your rotations, you always have two of those guys in the game. It's no excuse for not finding a way to win the New Orleans game. It's no excuse for, you know, not being a couple possessions yesterday, better possessions yesterday. And we may have gotten beat tonight anyways, because sometimes you get hit with a flurry of haymakers in the NBA like these guys did to us tonight. But we could have been in a better position had we played better.
Always have two of those guys on the court at the same time. And by that, he's talking about Marcus and Jaylen.
Yeah.
You know, Marcus and Tatum. You know, Tatum and Jaylen. Tatum and Kemba. Kemba and Marcus. Whatever. Always having two of those guys on the court at the same time. And last night I tweeted, because it was like Jaylen Brown. These guys were awful last night. Jaylen and Tatum. But Jaylen Brown was on the court more than one occasion, you know, with Javonte Green, with Ojeleye, you know, with Tristan Thompson, you know, with Nesmith. You know, right now, they're only having one guy in the court at a time. Tatum has been out there with four guys. Nesmith, Pritchard, Thompson, Tice. You know, there's way too much of it. They are short a guy. Last year, you had Hayward. And you had Smart. So you always had two on the court together, and usually three on the court together at a time. This year, you go watch some of the substitutions, and it's personnel. You go look. It's Tatum and Brown are sometimes out there with four guys, you're sitting there saying, what the hell do you expect them to get done here? Like, what? And I think that's Stevens admitting that we're short. We're short a scorer. He talked about it earlier today, too. We're short a scorer to take pressure off these other guys. And Marcus makes sure we have two grown-ups on the court at all times, which they don't have.
I'm not disputing that. That we talked about this yesterday. Hayward, they had Smart, and they had a different Kemba last year, at least for the first half of the season. Right now, they've got half of Kemba. They have no Smart, and they have no Hayward, who was a good facilitator. So he moved the ball, and he could move it from the backcourt or
up
front.
But if Kemba had a bad night, Hayward would go 17, 20 points.
Correct.
You know, I mean, you could look at outside of like those three players, I think you've got on the same night Pritchard and Ojeleye giving you 20 plus. Has anyone other than those three players put up 20?
Edwards did in one game, won a game for them. Carson Edwards.
Oh, Carson Edwards. Okay. That? Like I said, any non-fluky player.
Yeah, it was a fluke.
Put up fluky 20. Now. Like have the potential for it, and that's why they lose Marcus Smart more than anything given this roster right now.
Yeah, but the point I was trying to make yesterday is that I'm not expecting those guys to score 20 points, but I think you can get easy baskets for those nondescript players out there, and you see players on other teams, stars do it all the time. So a guy that normally scores 3 can get you 9 or 10. Why? Because he's wide open. I mean, Gallinari has not been scoring in Atlanta. They've just kept on feeding him last night, right? That's what they were doing. You get open jumpers because everybody is paying attention to you. They're paying attention to Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum. And I do believe there's something to, and I heard Danny Ainge talk about this, that there's something to the fact that these guys have never been the main focus before. They've always had the Kyries. They've always had Gordon Hayward. They've always had these other players. Everybody thought Kemba Walker was going to be that guy. He was going to be the veteran that was going to come in. He doesn't have that personality. That's what Gorman was talking about yesterday. So you got three guys that are kind of meek and laid back. And who is your alpha dog? Who's the guy that's really setting it? When you look at these really good teams out there, you know, over history, they've always had that alpha dog. And they don't have it. So they rely on these two different guys, right?
Well, I would say, like, I was sitting there watching that and saying, is Jason Tatum, just looking at Jason Tatum, is he a Batman or is he a Robin?
Right now, he's still a Robin. He could be a Batman.
I'll tell you what, they're both Robin.
I think he's a Robin.
They're both Robin.
Ultimately, he's a Robin. Both of them are not.
Right now, they are.
But they're acting like Batman, and they're not. And I think, and that's, to me, that is just troublesome because you're asking them to do so many things, and they have no sidekick. Zero. And they both, when they're both on the court, they both act like Batman. So that's another part of the issue. So, okay, if when we're both on the court, okay, you be Batman, I'll be Robin. Okay, we'll role play, and then we'll switch it, okay? But we both can't be Batmans.
I'm Batman.
Just, to me, it's a little obvious. So,
well, last night they weren't even Batman. Who's the guy that the other
the
guy?
Joker.
No. The
Mr. Freeze.
Yes. No. The old man, Lois Lane. The old man who
Spalding.
What is his name? Anybody know? I don't know.
Jeffrey.
Maybe. 617-779-7937 is our phone number. So should Brad Stevens and Danny Ainge be worried about their job? We'll get to that, and we'll get to the phone calls. Load them up at 617-779-7937.
This is WEEI.
Alfred.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Ordway, Marloni, Fourier. Back to OMF on EEI.
Kirk, you think Brad Stevens should be on the hot seat right now?
Hell yeah, he should be on the hot seat. Because I'm watching this Celtic team and they lack accountability. They talking about, oh, it's not Brad Stevens. He's not a guy that hollers. Then what the hell are you here for? If you're not going to hold guys accountable, Jason Tatum last night and games before that, oh, pout and complain to the referees, Jaylen Brown not sprint back on defense. That's lack of accountability. That is coaching not getting on their superstar players. Then to top it off, you watch a guy, and I love Tristan Thompson. I'm watching him catch the ball at the free throw line area. And he's trying to show everybody that he could go between his legs. That's lack of accountability.
That is perfect. He's flipped on Tristan Thompson like five times in the last week.
Oh, he's trying to do too much. I mean, look around. Someone has to step up, though.
Oh, man.
Someone's got to step up.
I would say this, Lou, because you work for that outfit. That was on First Take, by the way, in ESPN. But we know Perk also was on NBC Sports Boston.
Yep.
And he's good because he'll say whatever he's thinking.
He does what I do.
And
he does
right,
what I do.
Exactly.
He says something different on each show.
It is actually time to panic.
At least you take account for it. But he's doing it, and it's entertaining as hell. But I'm wondering what the Celtics are thinking. Is they're ripping Brad Stevens, and he's ripping Danny Ainge.
I don't know about you guys, but I think going into the fourth quarter, I was hoping I was on DVR so I could just fast forward to the post game, right? Because there has been some, and I think even like two nights ago, I was just like, man, this post game is just kind of odd, right? It's just, so like once Scal joins with Abby, You know, Scal doesn't want to go there. He's hiding behind like a statue. He's like, let's talk numbers. I don't want to. He doesn't want, really want to talk about it.
Right.
Right. Ooh, and Abby's like, let's find something positive. You know, and you're like,
somebody has to win the Tommy Award.
And then here comes Perk.
Like, no, bury it in your backyard. Nobody gets a Tommy Award tonight. Are you kidding me?
And Perk is like,
listen. It's a disgrace to Tommy.
Yeah, Perk's like, listen, you know,
listen,
and Scal's like, I told you that it can't be a superstar, whatever. And then it all ends. And then here comes Forsberg at the end, and he's just ready to blow up too. And I'm like, I live for it because it's kind of really uncomfortable.
Yeah. Remember the days when Tangway was doing all of that, the wraparound shows, the pregame and the postgame, and he was always positive and he couldn't be negative? You made him a huge mistake, Gary. So, you could have been negative.
Did he win the Tommy Award?
So
Some positives.
I'll give you some positives. Okay, let's jump on the bandwagon. Let's fire Brad Stevens. He's on the hot seat. That is just so stupid.
It is.
It is so reactionary.
Yeah.
So, and even like you hear Wick says it's not Brad's fault, it's not Danny's fault. Danny says it's not Brad's fault, it's his fault. I mean, it's so suddenly Brad Stevens, in a matter of months, has forgotten how to coach. It doesn't happen that fast. Like, the guy has not lost the locker room. They have not tuned him out. I would say the easiest explanation, and I think this happens, and I'll use any sport and as any coach that's been in any sport that's been there longer than 10 years, other than Bill, okay, has not had every single year where everything has gone right. Most teams will have some ups and some downs and some challenges. Like, I mean, I hate when we say three out of the last 4 years, but there is some truth to that.
I know, but there's...
So you can't just say the guy can't coach anymore.
I think, listen, he's a good basketball mind. You heard Jeff Goodman earlier. The guy's a good basketball coach. But I think it comes down to who he coaches. You know, at Butler, he coaches the guy that wasn't recruited by Kentucky. You know, he coached the guy that wasn't recruited at Duke or, you know, Kansas. You know, and then he came here, and what did he do with these teams? With guys like Jay Crowder, who's trying to make a name for himself in the league, and Isaiah Thomas. And then he had the kids in Tatum and Brown. But you have to start to wonder if when you start to reach a certain status in this league, if he knows how to coach that guy.
I agree.
If he knows how to motivate that guy.
But that's
and it's about
everything.
Motivating a star player who comes into his own.
Do you think that these guys are not contentious, rocking the boat type guys?
But I think you're missing the point. And you've talked a lot about NBA players and how different they are and how they have far more control. And we talked yesterday about these two guys going to the All-Star game and hearing it from other guys. I think they're already hearing it. They already in their head think they are superstars. And so they're treating Brad and listening to him differently. I think Lou's right. I think there's a difference of getting players who you can develop who were never thought of as being much.
Just like in college.
Right. I would say sure, but like if Brad was hired today and then he inherited those guys, I'd say probably. No. He was here when they were drafted. He helped develop them.
But they're different now.
There's a different type of...
They're stars now.
And now they don't need you. I don't need you, Dad.
No, now...
I'll take the call when I want to.
Now they've reached a level, you know, in the... Jason Tatum, third team All-NBA.
Yep.
Jaylen Brown, All-Star. Jason Tatum, second year All-Star.
They know better than you now.
Now they are no longer those kids learning from Coach Brad. Now they're looking at Coach Brad and saying, why aren't we doing this? They know they've been in the league now. That why do we do this? Jaylen Brown, why do we keep switching? I don't know. It just sounded to me like he was frustrated with the other night. So I think now that they've been in the league 3 or 4 years, and like everybody says, maybe the worst thing that's ever happened to this organization, made through conference finals 3 of the last 4 years.
And now they're all-stars.
Now they know.
We went to
a Game 7 Eastern Conference final a couple times. I'm a two-time all-star. So I start to wonder if Brad can coach a guy with that kind of class in this league.
See, and those players have to be leaders. Ainge talked about that in his radio appearance across the street, and he was talking about those two guys. Those two guys have always had other influences on there, Kyrie, etc. Now they're the ones that have to be it. And so instead of looking for the next guy, they have to take control of it. I do think it's changed, and I do think that is a legitimate question when it comes to Brad Stevens. Let's get to the phone calls and reaction. Here's Robert in New Hampshire. Hello, Robert.
Hey, how are you doing?
Good, Robert.
So, basically, my thing that I want to talk about, and I just have a question, and I want you guys, I'll hang up and let you guys talk about it. Danny Ainge has been around for a while, and Brad Stevens seems to be a good coach. I mean, obviously he's having his issues. Do you think it's time to do a top-down change?
It's not going to happen.
Bring in somebody new and to
Robert, we could sit here every day.
Do you think they should?
Yeah, that's the question. Yeah. Forget about whether or not it's going to happen.
No, I
or
say
not.
No, they shouldn't. They shouldn't change okay. it right now.
See, that's that. See, I would say everybody is overreacting like crazy.
Yes.
Overreacting like crazy. I know, but listen, there's a lot of evidence, you know, go, what the? It's got to be this. It's got to be that. It's got to be this. Shh, everybody settle down now. Everybody settle down. Yes, it does not look like it did last year. Or not even last year. Yeah, last year during the playoffs. Doesn't look the same. Looks very different. I'm just saying, like, the guy doesn't forget how to coach. The guy doesn't forget how to motivate in a matter of a month and a half. Because really, go back to the beginning of the season. In the beginning of the season, when Tatum and Brown were becoming All-Stars and their record was that much better, like, nobody said, hey, Brad Stevens doesn't know how to coach. They were saying, what a great job he's doing with
these
guys.
Well, I do think that when he got his extension before the bubble reopened, we sat there and said, really?
We did.
We sure?
Remember, we talked about that.
Like,
really,
what? Premature? Like, you know, what did he give? Did he give him that extension to kind of give everybody that little boost going in the bubble? Like, this is your coach, to believe in your coach? Like, he's there a while? Like, I don't know. I thought it was a little premature. Yep. And I do. I think, you know, Danny Ainge, to me, he's got about 2 or 3 years to figure out where this is.
Yeah.
I would give him like this offseason to see where this thing is headed. You know, in about 2 years. And then you'd move on. If you're still in rebuild mode, you move on. Brad Stevens, if I'm Danny Ainge, I mean, not like getting a new coach in here saves your job if you're a GM, but, you know, yeah, you start to wonder putting talent around him. Maybe you go back to, you know, not being able to get Kyrie. That team was an absolute train wreck. You know, Kyrie, Horford, Hayward, absolute train wreck. Couldn't get those guys to play. So if I'm Brad Stevens, he's been here for what, 8 years? If I'm Danny Ainge, 8 years Brad Stevens has been here. Yeah, you start looking at your head coach. So absolutely.
I'm not saying that a change in head coach doesn't change the whole culture of a team. I think we're seeing it in Philadelphia.
You think
right
with,
now
Doc,
with Doc
Rivers?
Rivers. Okay, because they've added what? Seth Curry? I mean, they've added a couple of pieces, but the main players are playing at a different level. Joel Embiid is playing at a much different level.
Why?
Doc Rivers has changed that. He's changed the way he reacts to him. I just don't see it happening. And Wick came out and said, I'm happy with Brad. I talk to Danny and Brad all the time. And knowing Wick a little bit, I think he's telling the truth. I don't think this is one of those fake votes of confidence that you see with ownership. I think really likes the operation.
So I mean, listen, but we're not talking. If you want to use the Philly comparison, I mean, I don't think it's right because, I mean, the Philly was underachieving. They were getting knocked out of the playoffs. They definitely needed a kick in the butt. The Celtics, no, if you want to say, hey, they're a Nick Nurse away from a championship, like Dwayne Casey becoming like head coach, like coach of the year, then getting fired, and then Nick Nurse comes in and they end up winning the NBA championship, and then they also get Kawhi Leonard, let's not forget that part of it, then I'd say, okay,
was an
that was a team.
Too.
I know, but here's the thing, though, with Toronto and Dwayne Casey, they were getting kicked out of the playoffs way too early for all the talent. So, yeah, he was winning coach of the year, but they weren't advancing. The Celtics are advancing, have advanced. The Philadelphia 76ers have not. Joel Embiid has been, for all his talent, has underachieved. Ben Simmons, underachieved. Doc Rivers comes in, and for right now, they look like they know what they're doing.
But you added a Kawhi Leonard, too, to Toronto.
When is the last time Doc Rivers won anything? He couldn't win with the Clippers with all that talent. So suddenly, like, that's not the example I would use. Like, he hasn't done anything to prove that he can win again.
Jeff Goodman was on this morning, or this afternoon, I should say, and was talking about Brad Stevens, this exact thing. Brad Stevens, Danny Ainge, what do you do?
If you're Danny Ainge, you have decisions to make then. And I never thought I'd say this because I'm the biggest Brad Stevens fan there is as a human being. And I watched him take Butler to 2 championship games from the Horizon League. Okay, so like the guy can coach. Let's not say he can't coach. Can he coach this team? Can he get enough out of this group? That's the big question.
I agree with him.
That's
the question.
And I think that's always been the question with Brad Stevens. I don't think anybody has questioned whether X and O guy, whether he can coach or whatever, but can he motivate personalities, highly paid NBA stars. Can he do that? This is the first time, and Lou's right, the first time he's really had to deal with it. Yeah, because those two guys look at themselves now as superstars. I know, but they're not, I mean, but they think them
okay,
that way.
It's so reactionary. People get so caught up. Good one.
Reactionary.
I mean, I know, but like, okay, have some common sense. Take a second and remove your emotions from it. And I could say that there are some comparisons, slight comparisons, to what was going on with the Patriots. So here you have two stars, okay, and they got to play Tristan Thompson and Tice, and because as two bigs at the same time, because they have no wing players, and they got to play, and they have no Smart, and Kemba plays every other game. So what, we're acting like this is a complete roster? It isn't. They have so many guys on their roster that aren't NBA players. Oh, Jeff Teague. No, he's not one. Taco Fowl. He isn't one.
Carson Edwards. Draymond Waters.
I know my point is, but they think about it, though. Like, just let's look at it from 30,000 feet and go, oh, okay, there it is. I see what it is. So maybe this is the year that they need to self-correct.
They're not going to. And I'll tell you why. Because
it's not Brad Stevens.
Those players aren't, those players aren't coming here. You've already seen it. They don't want to play with two young players that are on the rise. They are going to go to a team that has other veterans that they can win with right now. That's what
they're
going to do.
Well, then you're going to need to get it in a trade then. And if you're, because that way, they don't have any choice.
Christian, the veterans they had, Al Horford, he left on his own. Gordon Hayward, he left on his own. Kyrie Irving, he left on his own. Why did they leave?
And you know
what
else?
Because these two young kids are getting all of the attention, and they don't like that.
I don't know. That's not why. Well, I don't think that was why Al Horford.
What did Danny get for those three players, too, by the way?
Nothing, and maybe something.
All right, just checking.
Horford. Not Horford. Hayward.
Yeah.
And Horford left on his own. He got paid more money. You got the coupon with
coupon,
Hayward.
You got the coupon. I love that line.
You may or may not use it.
Here's David in the car. What do you got, David?
Hey, thank you for taking my call. I agree with Lou about these guys getting to the Eastern Conference, and I want to call it a false sense of accomplishment. You know, I think they've, you know, they feel as if that they've accomplished. They've accomplished nothing. It's like Brady telling the guy not to cry. They've accomplished nothing, and they're playing like they've accomplished something in their careers, and they really haven't. I think it's affecting their performance, you know?
Maybe. I hate to say it, but part of the problem is the way the fan base, the media, and everybody else drummed them up. They were a cute little team. They were overachieving. They were able to get to the Eastern Conference Finals only to lose, and people thought they were a championship-contending team. So why wouldn't these players think that's what they are? That's how you presented them.
It is. Everybody talks about it. Wick talked about it all day yesterday. Three out of four. Eastern Conference Finals. Three of the last four. They'll all bring it up. Danny will bring it up. Everybody will bring it up. Everybody wants to defend this team. Three out of four. I mean, sometimes if we sat there and said the Patriots went to like AFC title 3 out of 4 years and never won one, you know, or never got out of it, we would say that they don't have enough. Or we'd say they're not good enough. Or we'd say something's wrong with them, you know, because if we thought the talent was there. But the reason why we don't do that to them is because we all kind of feel like they were lucky to even freaking get there in the first place. Like, when you look at those teams, like, they were lucky to even get there. They weren't the Final Four. Like, all three of those three of those years, they weren't the four best team in the league. Something always happened with COVID last year with Milwaukee. There's no damn way in hell they would have gone Eastern Conference Finals if there wasn't COVID last year.
But the same people that are harping all over them right now, I'll bring you an example. Don't you remember a couple of years ago when they were playing Cleveland? Mike Gorman thought they were going to win the series in five, and they got smoked. So, and Milwaukee, everybody after they won that first game against Milwaukee thought they were going to, you know, beat them in four. I think they've been built up. And so people have thought that they were this close to contending. I'll give Brad Stevens credit. He got the most out of those young players, and it goes back to what you were saying, Lou. But can he do it once those players have realized they are actually stars in this league? So what has gone wrong with all of this, and how do they fix it? Because contrary to what people think, I do not believe Danny Ainge is going to fix it by the trading deadline or come anywhere close. This hour of OMF brought to you by Cars for Kids, your number one charity for car donations.